Secretary Vilsack, of course, thank you very much for joining us today. Appreciate it. Earlier this week, President Biden is announcing a plan to help local meat processors. Tell us a little bit of an overview of what that's going to entail.
Well, Dustin, let me take you from A to Z on this so that your listeners fully understand the comprehensive nature of what we're doing here. You know, we started the process by taking a look at our existing capacity and making sure that they stayed in business by lowering inspection fees for very small and small operations, anywhere from 30 to 70% reduction in that cost, which is a really big item, and it keeps that capacity going. We then move towards those folks who want to be able to sell across state lines. They had a state operation, they wanted to expand their market. We gave grants to 167 facilities to be able to expand beyond their state border in terms of sales. Then we launched a loan guarantee program looking at the middle of the supply chain. There's some who need more warehousing space, more cold storage, more mobile slaughter units, maybe even an expansion, small expansion project. We now have a loan guarantee program to make it easier for that banker to lend the money to get the job done. Now the president has announced a large commitment of loans and grants that are going to allow us the opportunity to provide the capital for those facilities that want to get started, that want to build, that want to expand, to create more capacity. And we also are building a workforce with additional resources for workforce training and development, and also committing resources for innovation. So it's a comprehensive nature in terms of the capital and human resources needed to expand capacity. Why do we do this? Very simple. We want farmer income to improve. And we know if we increase capacity, we increase competition, we give farmers choice. So that they get a better price. Two, we want to help that consumer. And by having the consumer have more choice, we have the opportunity for those consumers to also see lower prices. And three, we want to build a more resilient system, food system. We knew during the course of the early days of the pandemic, we saw how disruptive the circumstances can be when one of the processing facilities shuts down. We end up having farmers having to euthanize their animals. That's a tragic situation, shouldn't happen. Let's build a strong local and regional food system to complement the national system we have. And finally, let's bring more jobs, good paying jobs, to rural Iowa and rural America. All of that is pretty much designed with reference to this effort. And it will complement the efforts of Senator Grassley and Senator Tester and others who are seeking to have greater price discovery so we have a better understanding of what that cash market actually is.
And so, you know, the president hinted to it, you know, about the fact that most people don't realize how much of the marketplace and the market share is controlled by the big four, as we call them. So what is the game plan for trying to open up that marketplace a little more and try to bring back some of that competition and help those local ones get established in the marketplace?
Well, I think it's a combination of providing additional resources to build and expand existing capacity and build new capacity. For mid and small sized operations locally and regionally and strategically placed so that folks have a choice. There's competition for livestock producers to be able to sell their livestock to multiple markets. That's part of it. The other part is making sure that there's a balanced relationship between those producers who do business with the big four. And that's why we're strengthening the Packers and Stockyards Act to create better balance, to create more resources and capacity to hold people accountable in a balanced and fair relationship, whether it's a poultry tournament system or whether it's folks who feel they've been discriminated against or retaliated against. It gives them additional rights. It balances, if you will, levels the playing field. And then I mentioned the price discovery and opportunity as well for farmers across the board to basically be able to determine, hey, am I getting a fair price or not? If there are too few cash transactions, then you really don't know whether that price you're getting that's being quoted to you is fair or not.
You know, it was really interesting when the president hosted the roundtable, Iowa Farm Bureau President Brent Johnson was in attendance. He made a comment that I'm hearing so much around rural America, you know, especially in the Midwest, about the fact that their operations are too small to get buyers in there. But yet we know that there's a lot of small marketers out there. I mean, my own family, 3,000 hogs, and they're being told that that's not enough three times a year to be a big packer, to help a big packer. What do we do? Because obviously a local small butcher shop can't handle 9,000 hogs a year. But I mean, how do we to get that moving so those people that are smaller market feel they've got that open?
Well, I think there are a combination of answers to that question. One is that those smaller operators can come together and form a cooperative, and so that they create their own processing facility to be able to market to a larger purchaser. And we certainly want to encourage those kinds of opportunities for farmers, not only to be producers, but also processors and profit from both ends, if you will. That's one option. The other option, of course, is for us to build that local market, to create more opportunities for that farmer in a small situation to be able to contract with a local school or contract with a university or an institutional purchaser, a hospital, a prison, whatever it might be, to provide an access for product that could essentially be sold and retain those profits, if you will, and that economic opportunity, if you will, in the local and regional area. So I think there are multiple ways to address this issue. But the key here is making sure that there are resources available to folks who want to form that cooperative, who want to create that local and regional market, that we're able to help them. And I think USDA has a wide range of resources now because of the American Rescue Plan, because of President Biden's direction and leadership, and because of a number of programs that have been established over the course of the last 10 years or so to focus on local and regional food systems.
Last question I'd have for you, Secretary. Obviously, the Attorney General was part of that roundtable, and Department of Justice has to get involved when you're talking about the enforcement of this over 100-year-old legislation, the Packers and Stockyards Act. How are we going to be able to go back? Some groups are saying, hey, it's going to come back to enforcement, but it seems like it hadn't been enforced for decades, and that's how these four got so big. How do we return that stability again?
Well, there are two issues here. Yeah, there are two issues here. The enforcement of the Packers and Stockyards in part has to do with the laws that have been established by courts as they've interpreted the Packers and Stockyards, which create a very, very high bar for a producer to be able to utilize the Packers and Stockyards. You have to prove if you've been discriminated against, if you've been retaliated against, that was directed at your specific operation by a packer. You have to prove that the activity of the packer didn't just help hurt you, it impacted the entire industry. Well, that's an incredibly high bar. And so what we want to be able to do with the strengthening the rules is to say, wait a minute, there are some circumstances where that high bar is appropriate, but if you've been discriminated against or you've been retaliated against specifically, you shouldn't have to prove that everybody else was hurt like you were. So creating a level playing field, that's one aspect. And the other aspect is antitrust. And the reality is whether or not, as a result of consolidation, there's just absolutely too much power in the marketplace, and we want to be alert to that. And so we've created this portal, a partnership between the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Justice, to provide people the opportunity to report to us circumstances or situations that they believe may constitute anti-competitive practices, so that we get a better understanding of what's happening on the ground. I think the combination of those two things should help us, I think, provide a leveler playing field and a fairer marketplace.
And what's the timetable we're looking at to start seeing some of those loans and some of those backings start to roll out from the president's $1 billion in investment there?
Well, some of the programs are already available. The loan guarantee program that I mentioned is already available, but we anticipate and expect the next couple of months to be able to put out the framework for $150 million rather, of the grant resources. So there's $375 million in grants. $150 million of it's going to be available in the very near future, so that projects that are just on the cusp, ready to go, but they just need a push, we'll get that push from this program and accelerate the development of those projects. Then in the summer, we'll see the larger grant program and the loan program launched as well. So by the end of the year, we'll have a full array of tools. I think we'll begin to see shovels in the ground, if you will. I think we'll begin to see the construction and expansion of projects. And we're going to, I think, begin to see a fairer and better market.
Well, Secretary Vilsack, I thank you so much for taking the time to visit with our Iowa listeners and tell us what's going on that front.
You bet. Appreciate it.